Folks, I remember, it is lovely to have some Donegal friends over this morning and joining with us. And a couple of years ago at our kind of youth week during the summer, I was doing the little talky bits and we were using road signs. And there's lots of different road signs were just on card being used and using the road sign to talk about different aspects of faith. And one of them was the crossroads. And kind of saying to the guys and the girls, so if you come to the crossroads, what do you have to do? The answer being stop and look and listen and then move across and stuff. And one of the wee lads says, no, Gordy. If she's clear, keep her in gear. Not advice that I purport, but if she's clear, keep her in gear. Keep her lit. Keep her lit. Keep going. Say, I'm not suggesting that as good advice. That was just the advice that day from this young fella. But the idea being, and what Liz has read for us this morning, Paul, in essence, is saying to us here in Philippians, keep her lit. Keep her lit. Keep going. Keep going in the faith. All the different aspects, and we'll just delve into it now. We thought last week, didn't we? About confidence and self. Paul says, I used to think I could do it by myself. I used to think it was all about me, and I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was the best of the best. But I realized that everything that I had was rubbish compared to knowing Jesus, as we've just sung. And that my confidence should be in Christ. That I live for the sake of Christ. That I may gain Christ. Having a righteousness that comes through faith in Christ and not from myself. And I want to, again, as we've just been singing, I want to know Christ. And the verses following on in chapter 3, basically, Paul saying to us, through the Lord, keep her lit. Keep going. Last week we thought about the little story about Paco and estranged from his father and the father desperately seeking him and saying, look, all is forgiven. Meet me at this hotel. And the story, I'm not sure true or not, but in Spain there were 600 Pacos turned up at the hotel because their relationship with their father was broken. Paul is saying, I want to know Christ. I want to find that faith that comes through forgiveness to know him. How does that happen? And as we follow on just in the passage, Paul says, look, I haven't already attained all this. Or I haven't already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. He says, brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if at some point you differ, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. Keep her lit. Keep following. Keep pressing on. It's about effort in many ways. Although we're saved by grace, we're not kept by works, we're kept by grace. But works are part of it. Let's unpack this. Paul says, not that I've already been made perfect. I'm not perfect. The little badge, I think I have mentioned it before. Can anybody remember? PBPWMGHFWMY. Why? Please be patient with me because God hasn't finished with me yet. Was it Joni Erickson Tada had the little song, he's still working on me to make me what I want to be. Took him just 6 days to make the moon and stars, or Jupiter and Mars. But how wonderful and gracious it would be because he's still working on me. With me, certainly a bit more than 6 days, But please be patient, because God still isn't finished with me yet. Paul says, I haven't been made perfect. Not that I've already obtained all this, but I'm not perfect, but I press on. I press on for what? And actually, as you unpack that, well, this one thing I do, I'm single-minded. I have to focus this one thing I do. I have to forget what's behind. Separation has to take place. I have to turn, like the old boys' brigade, about turn 180 degrees, go the other way. Forget what's behind as you press on. Single-minded, separation, and straining towards what is ahead. There is effort involved, but it's not by our works or by our goodness that we find this salvation. We press on, and Paul goes on to say, towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus, that I may gain the prize. Forgiveness now, that sense of your guilt taken away, your shame thrown into the depths of the deepest sea, but also straining towards what is ahead, which is the glory of heaven with Christ. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, we know the verse as well. For it is by grace that we're saved through faith. And this is not from ourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not by works so that nobody can boast. And then it goes on to say, but we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared for us in advance for us to do. So we are not saved by our works, but as we come to know Jesus and love him, we will want to serve him, and he has works that are set out for us. He has gifting and ability given to you. Be that something at the front, be that in behind. I told and I've tell a story often about a young fellow, Chris Galt, in the youth fellowship in First Coleraine. And after Galt, he headed on to university. Youth fellowship would finish in an evening. And then half an hour later, when everybody's going home, all the chairs in the youth room were still out. And all the music equipment was still sitting. And it was only after Chris left and went to university that everybody thought, oh, Galty packed up every Sunday night. The music stuff was carted back up the stairs into the store. And nobody really noticed until he was gone. But everybody felt the impact of his absence. What has God given you at your hand? Be it up front or behind the scenes, that you can do in the life of the church family. Effort, using your gifts, that God has given us gifts to use. James just simply tells us, because people often say Paul and James, their theology was different. It wasn't different at all. James says, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. Paul says, keep her lit, and there's effort involved. Okay, pop quiz for you. 6 pictures. I need you to shout out the answers for me, please. Mr. Miyagi, okay. I'm looking at confession. Who watches Cobra Kai? I mean, big people here. Yeah, Caroline, I'm with you. It's the worst but the best TV program ever. Okay, Mr. Miyagi from... Okay, super. Gandalf from Lord of the Rings, okay. Yoda, it is. Star Wars, okay. Oh, we're challenging you now. Come on, people. Who was that? You were right. Who was so brilliantly? So, Xavier, Dr. Professor X from X-Men, okay. Okay, from Lion King, okay, or Robin's favorite movie. Dumbledore from Harry Potter. It looks strangely like Gandalf. What do they all have in common? What? Come on, Brian, come on. A beard. A beard. Oh. Brilliant, Rosemary. They are all mentors. Well, they aren't men, okay. Just by accident. But they are all mentors. They are all mentors. People look up to them. They're given advice and help and actually example to people. Yeah? And we all need that example in our lives. Look at verse 17 of the passage here. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we give you. Wow. We all need mentors. We all need to model our faith for our children or for those in our care. We are a picture of the Lord. Join with others in following my example, that people can see. Simon says, follow me as I follow the example of Christ. We are a picture. But look at that verse again too. Join with others in following my example. We don't do it on our own. We do it together. We do it in partnership as we follow the example of the Lord. And then Paul says, take note of those who live according to the pattern we give you. We give you. This isn't just Paul. This is Paul and Timothy and Silas and Dr. Luke and Epaphroditus that we've read about earlier. Those who are living out, modeling their faith and living out a vibrant faith for others and in Christ. That is our calling, folks. And again, for each of us, again, it is just simply that Paul has the audacity to say, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. I would want to say that to you about myself, but know also my own frailty and failings. So there are certain things, folks, don't follow my example because I'm struggling or wrestling. But actually, one thing I do, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Let's unpack the last little bit. And emotion is the sense, because Paul is feeling this, verse 18 through to 4, verse 1. And again, the first verse, for as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, you see the emotion here, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ, and their destiny is destruction, and their God is their stomach. Their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies. You see, the transform, we're being changed into the image of Christ. It'll be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. With emotion, Paul says, and I say again, even with tears, keep her lit. Many are enemies of God. Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. And you see, as you unpack that, their God is their stomach. What does that mean? Their glory is their shame. What does that mean? Their mind is on earthly things. Folks, in our day it is no different. Driven by desires, their God is their stomach. Driven by their gut, Their God is their stomach. To suit 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, just, and it's sensuality and sexuality here in many senses that this is talking about. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 talks about to suit their own evil desires, they go after things. Their delight, their glory is in their shame. I actually just wrote down in my notes, tabloids, celebrity magazines, Big Brother. I remember the first series of Big Brother, and I think it was either the second or third, all of a sudden the cameras were in the bedrooms and there were double beds. Then cameras came to be in the bathrooms as well. By the way, I don't watch it. I've written down, because this is on your TV, this is on your TV guide when you click your remote control, Naked Attraction, I Kissed a Boy, Love Island, Dating Naked. This is on your TV. Their glory is their shame. In today's culture, we have made sordid living and behavior entertainment. Their glory is their shame. And as God's people, we somehow need to live in this world and still live for Jesus and seek to live a holy, pure life. And it is not easy. Do you understand what I'm saying? Many live as enemies of God. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. For the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the glory of the gospel. Many live as enemies of God. We've been deceived. But here we're promised eternity with God. Verse 20 just simply says, our citizenship is in heaven. Peter writes in 1 Peter 2:11 that we're aliens and strangers here. It's the old gospel song, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. And that's the truth. Paul says, look, many live as enemies of God, but remember we don't belong here. Our destination is the glory of heaven with Christ. And so chapter 4, verse 1 is our encouragement. Stand firm in the Lord. Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 to 8. Just allow me to read these verses. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through to 8. Paul writes to young Timothy, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time has come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Verse 7, he says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith, and now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me in that day, not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. That's you and me, as we love the Lord and seek to live for him. Paul feels this deeply with emotion. Folks, keep her lit. Keep her lit. Keep following Jesus. This is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. In a world that's turned its back on the things of God, keep her lit. With effort, finding good examples and following them as we follow Christ, and that we would feel our faith. Not that we're led by our emotions, but that it would certainly burn in our hearts, folks. Found the most fantastic quote from C.S. Lewis. I love its honesty. He says this, I didn't go to religion to make me happy. I always knew a bottle of port would do that. But if you want a religion that makes you feel really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity. Following the Lord is hard in the world in which we live. But keep her lit. This is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart have been pleasing to the Lord.